audio version of Michael Lehtman's blog. November 25, 2017. Where does the history of Kabbalah begin? 5,777 years ago, the first person to attain the upper nature appeared in the world. He was called Adam. From him we begin to count the history of Kabbalah. Adam wondered about the meaning of life. He began to search where everything comes from, and revealed that there is only one force in the world that moves the whole universe. This positive force can be called the Creator, because it really creates. It has no body, no weight, no volume, nothing of what we think we have. After all, what we have and see in our world is a pure illusion that appears in our mind, in our sensations. So, 5,777 years ago a man appeared who revealed this quality of the world. Adam is called the first man, Adam HaRishon, because he was the first to attain the essence of the world. He told about it in the book The Secret Angel, Raziel HaMalach. This small book of only a few pages has reached our time. The next book about Kabbalah was written by Abraham in ancient Babylon. But between Adam and Abraham there were 20 generations of Kabbalists who attained the spiritual world by means of the methodology revealed by Adam that he then handed over to his disciples. Over the centuries, this knowledge has been gradually supplemented. So there was the method of attaining the upper world. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, July 23, 2017. The two forces of the universe. Question: if the Creator is one, then why does his reflection manifest itself in our world through a multitude of different forces? Answer: there are two forces in the universe, the force of the Creator, the force of bestowal, and the force he created opposite to him called the created being, the force of reception. All the rest are all kinds of emanations, modifications of these two forces, plus and minus. Other than that, nothing else exists. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, July 9, 2017. Between extremism and reconciliation. Dr. Michael Lehtman in conversation with N. Levy and Eleshter.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lehtman. Hello, Dr. Lehtman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yalesha Darel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lehtman about radicalism. Today, if we look at our life as individuals, as a society, radicalism is on the rise everywhere. And it confuses us as individuals, in our relationships with our children, our parents, everywhere. So radicalism is on the rise. What do we do about it? Yael, please.
Yeah, a person's inner feeling today is that he's very confused. Something that was normative for one generation is no longer normative for another generation. Something that was normative for one culture is no longer normative for another culture. And in this general pluralism, we feel that we're pushed and drawn by many forces. What's normal? What's not? What's radical? What isn't? And I'd like to open with the question, who decides what's radical, what's normative, what's not? How does it all work? Who decides? Yeah? The media, government, I don't know, different people around that are confused and get incorrect education and so on and so forth. I'll give you an example. Even looking at tattoos and so on. When you visit African tribes, tribes in other places, you have those with the long necks, you have those with the pierced ears. There are also those that put the plate here.
Yeah,
there are different kinds of things, and part of these things reached the Western culture in one form or another. Also in Israel, people are starting to pierce their bodies in different places. Suppose were we to live in an African tribe, this would be very normative. Not only normative, it's an inner language. who is the person. It's like symbols, according to which we know who are you, what are you, what do you belong to, what is your social status, and so on. There it's a matter of language, language, culture. Yeah, like we do through clothes, suppose. Accordingly, we more or less know about the person, who he is. Right, and today when you see people, at least when I look at, especially youth here in Israel, that kind of radicalized it all. If it's here and there, okay, but if it's beyond, then it looks really exaggerated. Now, it's a cultural thing. So who decides what's wrong, what's not, what's radical, what isn't, in such a multicultural world? There isn't. We live in a liberal society, even ultra, extra liberal, that everyone does whatever they see fit and right, and there are no limitations or anything, so much that if a child wants to do whatever he feels like, it's forbidden for his parents to interfere. He can go to the police and they'll be put in jail. Do you consider this as something normal? Depends. My opinion doesn't matter here. Society has to decide, and not according to what the media teaches it or whoever else there that suddenly took this role upon themselves, that it really has to be the role of the unique, greatest of the generation, educated people. But who takes it upon themselves? Movie stars, people that have lots of money, and so they're very influential on the net and on other kinds of media. They influence us, and they determine who the generation is, what are their principles, and correspondingly, later we come to court, and the judge, he's also a result of all this brainwashing that he went through, and so on and so forth. So the world works according to the different corruptions it absorbs from all sides. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, what is the correct criteria for something radical and something correct, if we relate to radicalism as incorrect? The criteria is that we have to understand human nature rationally, investigate, to understand how are we built, by what society, by what system are we controlled? Obviously, we're controlled by nature because none of us knows what's going to happen the next moment. All the more in a few years or dozens of years or hundreds of years, neither with ourselves nor with population in general, the world population, nor with nature. And therefore, we have to learn, study these rules and accordingly see, according to these rules, how can we promise for ourselves in a moment, in 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, a good, convenient life such that later on we wouldn't have to regret what was done. And also for our children, for ourselves. Meaning, first and foremost, we have to know what is the system of nature. When you're saying to understand the rules of nature, we know many of nature's rules. I'm sorry to say, but what we know gives us nothing. Talk to scientists, they'll tell you. So what acquaintance with the rules of nature are you talking about? Nature that really influences us, the inner rules of nature that we do not reveal, we don't know how to reveal them, but from there we receive all of our desires, urges, forces. We're operated from there, and we're changing, and no one knows what will happen tomorrow. Not even with the artificial systems we've built for ourselves, like, suppose, our financial system, culture, education, industry, nothing. Nothing. Governments, everyone is helpless, lost, knowing completely nothing about the future or about what's going to happen the next second. And the higher the person is, the more he tries to understand the system that we've built, the more he understands how limited he is. So what you're saying that there are certain inner rules of nature, of course. How can it be any other way? From all that we learn from biology, zoology, physics, cosmology, we see that it's all full of rules, wisdom, laws, qualities, changes in the formulas between them. There is nothing that happens by chance. Yeah, but you said that there is a certain realm that we don't know anything about at all, and we don't know how to even approach and research it. Yeah, it's that realm of the general program that controls our world. In order to determine as an individual what radicalism is, I have to know what that program is. Yes, but not only radicalism. I have to know about my life. What is demanded of me? Maybe I don't know the entire program, I can't digest it right now, but I'm like a little child in a family who's told, do this, you'll feel good. Do something else, you'll feel bad. So at least this I want to know on part of nature, so that the nature as the upper will come and tell me that if you'll do this, you'll feel good, if you'll do that, you'll feel bad. And then I'll ask, okay, how can I do good? You have to learn how to do it, teach me how to do it, show me an example, and so on and so forth. And why are we today in a state where nature makes it so that we won't know how to behave? No, it's not nature that causes it. What then? Nature controls us and keeps controlling us, and we have to rise a bit above that and look a bit forward and even a bit higher into nature and try and find the source from which we get all of our orders from. And how can we correspondingly understand what nature wants of us, and how do we have to behave in order for things to be good for us, for us to feel good? This is the main problem, that people don't want to engage in that, to deal with it. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about. The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks precisely about how to reveal the program, the system of laws that control human society here and now in this world, as a result of which we'll know everything about ourselves and our life and how we're controlled, and how can we also enter this system and participate there so that the way these forces control us will be for our own benefit. In this state that you're describing now, where we understand the system and we know how to behave correctly in a way that is adapted to the general program that you talked about, in this state, a person knows what to do. Are things clear? 100%. A person is no longer confused the way we are? Not at all. Why are we so radical nowadays? Not radical at all. Today, we are like little animals running away from the bad as if to the good. When we reach something, we discover that it's also not good, but it's bad, and we run again and again, and so from corner to corner. So today you're saying we're running, looking for the right place. This is part. Constantly smashing into sharp corners. Talking about radicalism, there are two realms. One is a person's external behavior, and the second is maybe he doesn't behave radically, but he has radical opinions. What's the difference, or maybe there's no difference, between a person who acts radically and a person who has radical opinions? First of all, in terms of opinions, depends who that person is. Maybe he's sitting at home with his radical opinions, just sitting on his computer, and then he doesn't care about the world, and the world doesn't care about him. But maybe with his radical ideas, he becomes an ideologist of some radical movement, and then he doesn't do anything. He only said a few words, but the others, according to those words, destroy the world. What's worse? What can destroy the world more, radical behavior or opinions? Opinions, of course. Why? Because an opinion is boundless. People can use it more and more and do anything as a result. Behavior, even though that it's bad, it could be very bad, but when you shift from opinion to behavior, then a behavior which is unfavored by nature in a short period of time shows its negativity and its nothingness. A person who has radical opinions, in your opinion, how much is it a result of the environment that he grew up in, or is it up to his inner traits that he was born with? Because you see that there's someone who's radical and someone who isn't. Practically everything depends on one's inner nature, but to the extent to which the inner nature is arranged in accordance with the external environment. There is the matter here called the point in the heart, that there are people who have an inclination towards truth. And there are people that have an inclination only to serve their will to receive, and they don't feel beyond that. People aren't to blame for the different inclinations that they have. Like, they're not to blame for anything else, because this is the kind of education that they got. And the environment allows them to do what they do, and so this is how they use it. Here we stumble upon a problem of education. Another question. Radical people, many times, aren't open to listen to other opinions. To what extent, in your opinion, is it beneficial or delays the development of an individual when they're open to hear the opinions of others or are not open to it? And why does radicalism usually make people fanatic and deaf? Bala Sulam, in his articles, Peace and Peace in the World, says that you can achieve peace only through pluralism, meaning that there are many different radical opinions, but we have to take them all into consideration and from all of them to build the middle line as a society. Yes, I'm talking about an individual. Suppose I'm an individual and I have very radical opinions. Why does usually radicalism come along with being deaf, not willing to, because you didn't get the right education, mister? You have to get Kabbalistic education, and then you'll know that all your radicalism demands of you to start to behave in a way that is opposite to it. The so-called love covers for all crimes, one against the other, and then in the sandwich between hatred and love, you will be able to reach a state where you will be perfect. It's like we're standing at the foot of the mountain and we have Mount Sinai, literally meaning a mount of hatred. But when we climb this mountain, we rise from hatred to love and the mountain in between. Many times you mentioned the concept of a middle line, middle path. I remember also Rambam, he gives this principle that fits every situation in life, that whatever you do in life, whether it's nutrition or opinions or anything else, a person mustn't take any extreme. You always have to take the middle path. So what is it about the radicalism that the wise, the sages say that it's not good? Why doesn't it actually develop and advance? Now you also talk to me about balance, the middle line. Why don't you like the sharp edge of a certain end? What is it about it that limits development? On the contrary, I can go into extreme radicalism on both ends, if I know how to bring them to mutual completion, to opinions, forces, methods that are to complete extremes, but I have to know, how do I bring them to completion? And this is something that no one knows how to do. We see it in our world. Everyone's standing on their side like a donkey, and that's it. I'm right. Yeah. But we have to understand that we're lacking method of how do we connect both of the radical forces, plus and minus, and connect both of them to an engine, some place where they can realize their output and will enjoy in society radical opinions that all come to the body of society and give it to society, and society enjoys both of them. But if society doesn't know how to use them, then it suffers. When opinions weren't that radical and pluralistic and liberal, that today everything's allowed, but people were afraid and were suppressed and suppressed others, then the world developed on a small flame. But today, when everything's allowed, and try saying something that you don't accept a certain radical opinion, you'll be eaten alive. Previously talked about completion. I have one solution for everyone, which is a simple one. We have to understand the system of nature we live in. That's it. How would that solve a reality like solves everything? Tomorrow, instead of pedophilia, you'll have something else. And government won't agree, and other people, and this and that. You'll have taxi drivers and animal something. Everyone with their direction. You have no choice. But to understand the system that we live in, the system of nature, what does this have to do with our discussion? Then you'll know what nature is doing, what is it demanding of you, and why, by these radical opinions that erupt in society. And what does it have to do with the mutual completion you talked about before, where you said that eventually, even if we take all the different ends and edges, then the wisdom is to work in mutual completion. What is that? What does it mean that if radical phenomena is revealed on the one side, I have to reveal radical phenomena on the other side and see how they're built, so that I will relate everything to the upper force and will adhere myself by this phenomena to the upper force and be on the middle line? But what does mutual completion mean? What kind of completion is it? Who completes whom? Any external phenomenon also has to point at another external phenomenon from the other side, and I have to take both of these phenomena, and I already said this, the main thing is to reach their root and to adhere to the root. And then there, I see how both these external phenomena complete each other. Do I have to do something for it? Does it happen on its own? For this, through society, I have to discover the upper force, which is the source of all phenomena. What is the upper force according to Kabbalah? Nature. What do you mean? It means that whatever we're in, it's nature. Right now, I'm in nature. I see that I'm in a certain reality, and this reality is entirely depicted in me from that upper force that evokes in me this kind of feeling, perception of reality. So, for example, something extreme as pedophilia, that also pedophiles have a place in society. What am I supposed to do with this opinion? There's this radicalism which is revealed in society. What do you do now? You can't do anything from one day to the next. You have to bring society to the correct kind of education that will lead people to know and understand and see the system they're all in. And when we will see, then everyone will know how they're supposed to balance everything, that the balance for all the solutions, everything in favor, everything against, the pedophiles, the everything, it's all in their one mutual source. So we only have to acknowledge that everything belongs to that mutual source? No, you have to feel it and understand it. Feel and understand what? Man has to. Yeah, but feel and understand what? The source. It's called the revelation of the Creator to His creatures in this world. To actually feel that all phenomena comes from that one source of nature, and after we felt that source, then you are already in the most comfortable, best possible state, most convenient, safest, nothing better. Why? Because there all the forces are balanced. All extremes, all ends are balanced. In individuals, in society, in everything. General and particular. There, at that source, everything is in the point of connection, and that completion is a decisive one. And when you're saying there, it has to do with our life. Here, where is there? There, it's where I, in my mind and heart, complete all the ends into one point, which is their root. So everything you said before about completion and balance, this is what you meant? Yeah? Dr. Lightman, our time's up. Last question. How can a person today know in life what's extreme, radical, and what isn't? A person can't know what's correct or good unless he studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, and therefore it's being revealed in order to help us reach a perfect state, but at least to understand why are we imperfect and how to advance. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Between extremism and reconciliation. Summary. How can we determine what is normative in our world today? Extreme opinions are more dangerous than extreme behavior because opinions have no limits. In order to reconcile opposing opinions, we need to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, which teaches us how to build the middle line. Extremism exists to push us toward recognition of the higher, general power in nature called the Creator. From CAB TV's New Life number 915, Between Extremism and Reconciliation, October 31, 2017.